So Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigour are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now, all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Thanks, Andrew. It'd be really good if you can keep your Bibles open there. We're going to particularly look at chapter 11, verse 7 to chapter 11, verse 7 down to chapter 12, verse 8. It'd be good to keep your Bible open. Before we do, let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we do thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that it is powerful and effective. Thank you that it tells us about yourself, your work, your son Jesus, and life in his name. But also thank you that you work through your word to bring transformation, to bring life. And Lord God, this morning we don't just want to know about life and about you, but we want to be people who live the life you've called us to. So we ask you for the work of your spirit in my speaking and our listening, that you would be at work and that you would be glorified. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are visiting with us this morning, whether you are usually part of another church community or whether you're not used to going to church at all, I want to suggest that you picked a really, really good day to be here. Not only do we get to witness these professions of faith and hear these testimonies of God's work in their lives and see a number of them being baptized, but you picked the best day to come because now we get right to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. You see, it's kind of cheating, really, just coming for today, if you don't mind me saying so, because we have been slugging it out here for the last 5 weeks. As we have been going through this book, the teacher, the speaker in the book of Ecclesiastes, he has been systematically pulling the rug from under our feet. He has been undoing every priority, every ambition, every false foundation that we want to build our lives on. One by one, he's been going through them and demolishing them and making it very obvious that you cannot build your life on these things. You cannot build your life on a quest for wisdom or a quest for knowledge or a quest for pleasure or a quest for money or a quest in your work. A life built on those foundations will be exposed as short in the eyes of God. But you picked a good day to come. I don't know if you noticed when we were reading through this, but there's probably about 10 instructions in those verses that we are given. And basically 6 of them say, have fun. That's a good day to come to church. Have a look there, if you see there. Verse 8. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. Verse 9. Be happy, young man, while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Now, if you don't usually go to church, see, what we normally do is we talk a lot about hell, and I tell people not to have sex or take drugs. That's normally what we talk about in church on a Sunday. But today is different. Today is the one day a year that we actually get to talk about having fun. And so that is what we're going to do this morning. Basically, very simply, this is what we're going to do today to unpack these verses. We're going to ask 2 questions of it. Why, firstly, does it tell us to enjoy our lives and particularly our time of youth? Why does it tell us that? And secondly, how do we do that? How do we enjoy our time of youth? Firstly then, why? Why should we enjoy our time of youth? Why does it command this or instruct this of us? Look at the way that many young people live their lives in our world today, and shouldn't the instruction be, slow down, hold off on the fun, you're having too much of it? Why does it command us this? Why does it instruct us? I want to suggest 3 reasons. Firstly, because youth is the time for vigor and energy. That's what verse 10 says. Youth is a time for vigor and energy. Youth is a time when you have the ability to get involved with and enjoy a whole lot of areas of life. Enjoy it, it says, because now is your time. Now is your time that you can run out on the field without pulling a hamstring. So enjoy your time of sport. Now is the time where your mind and your body is nimble enough to learn a new instrument. Now is the time where you have the capacity in your life to make numerous multiple friendships. So make numerous multiple friendships. Now is the time when you are unencumbered by lots of the things that other people are. You have time, you have energy, you have capacity, you don't have the same responsibilities. Make the most of it. Rejoice, enjoy the time of your youth, because now is the time for vigor. Second reason why, and this is the flip side, because there is a time coming when you won't have it. There is a time coming when that vigor will be holstered, when that energy will wane. So make the most of it now while you have it. Have a look there at verse 8 and what it says. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all, but remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Remember, there are days coming when it won't be as light and as beautiful as it is now. Have a look there at chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator, we're going to look at that in a little bit, in the days of your youth. Look at what it says next. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Now what happens in the following verses of chapter 12, verses 2 to 7, is there is this wonderful picture of what it means to get old and eventually to die. Have a look there, verse 3. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few. Now some of us here come from a culture where we like mushed up apple. We consider that part of main course for dinner. This is saying there is a day coming when you will enjoy that in steak flavor, in biscuit flavor, in dim sum flavor, because that's the only way you're going to be able to eat it. Karius carries on. Those looking through the windows grow dim. You can have bifocals as thick as Coke bottle bottoms, and you still won't be able to see more than 2 meters in front of you. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs are few, grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and dangers in the street, even that walking stick or that Zimmer frame you use to navigate won't make you feel safe out amongst the crowds. When the almond tree blossoms, the almond tree goes shock white in blossom. When the grasshopper drags himself along and desire is no longer stirred, you can ask your parents about that one when you get home. And then finally, remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Remember him, it's saying, enjoy your youth, enjoy the energy that it brings, because there is a day coming when you won't have it. It will fade, it will wane, and eventually we will all go to the grave. Now, I first preached from this passage when I was 21 years of age, 40 now. And I thought when I was 21 that I was bulletproof. I thought I could play sport like there was no tomorrow and no injury would ever hit me. I thought I could go out night after night after night as late as I wanted to and my body would always bounce back. Keep thinking that. But remember, there's a day coming when you won't have it. Enjoy it now, because it's not going to last. Third reason why it gives us that we should enjoy our youth, because it is a gift from God. Our time of youth is a gift that God gives us, and we should enjoy it as a gift from Him. Now, this is the thing that we've seen as we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes. That all of the good things in life, all of the things that are to be enjoyed, are to be enjoyed as gifts that God gives His children. They are not pursuits. They are not things that we chase after to grab onto. They are gifts that God gives us to enjoy. This is saying, don't worship youth. Don't idolize your time of youth. Receive and enjoy your youth as a gift that God has given you. So if you're a young person here today, what's this saying? It's saying you, in your youth, have been given a fantastic gift from God. You've been given this incredible time of energy, vitality, vigor, less encumbrances. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can. Enjoy learning new sports or learning new instruments or making lots of friends. Enjoy the time you have. Enjoy the energy you have while you've got it. Now, something that happens in our house, and maybe it happens in yours as well, is that the kids will often ask questions that begin with, when can I, or how old do I have to be to drive the car, watch M movies, have a boyfriend, leave home, to which the answers are, when I think you're ready, 25, and whenever you like, or something along those lines. But we seem to have this inbuilt thing when we're younger that we always want to reach forward. We always want to go to the next phase. We always want to take what's still to come. This is saying, don't do that. Don't try and reach forward. Enjoy the time that you have. Make the most of this time of youth that you've got. Don't try and reach forward for the next phase to come. Now, if you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, I might think I'm young, but when I'm realistic, I'm not young. What is this saying to me? Let me just say something about that first. Whenever we are, wherever we are in life, we are always young, not compared to a young person, but compared to what we're going to be, right? We're always young compared to what we're going to be tomorrow, next year, 10 years' time. Time and age only move in one direction. So what's the saying to us? Make the most of the time that you have now. Make the most of the age, the stage, the gift that God has given you now. Receive it as a gift and enjoy it as a gift from Him. And as we say to young people, don't try and reach forward. We need to say to us who are older, don't try and reach back. See, we live in a time and a culture that idolizes youth, that idolizes our time of youth. And we always want to reach back to reclaim something of our youth. We want to look, we want to feel, sometimes we want to act like we're a whole lot younger. He's saying, don't do that. Enjoy the time, the phase, stage of life that God has given you now. It is a gift from Him. When you're 45, don't live like you're 21, because you're not. You don't have the same hobbies and interests and time commitments that you had back then. Don't try to live like you were. When you're 35, 45, 55, don't try and look like you did when you were 21. This is not a time for mutton dressed as lamb. This is a time to accept the age and phase that we are, receive it as a gift from God, and to be thankful for it. Okay, that's the first question we wanted to ask. Why should we enjoy our time of youth? The next question we want to ask is how? How do we enjoy this time of youth that God has given us as a gift? Because if we're honest and we look around us, we see lots and lots of options for young people to enjoy their time of youth. Lots and lots of different ways that we can engage in things which are going to bring us joy. I see lots of selfie photos of people looking like they're having a whole lot of fun. But the reality is that research will tell us is that people are more miserable now than they have ever been. For all those selfies which picture a happy environment, people, we are told, are genuinely unhappy and dissatisfied. So how then do we enjoy our time of youth? Two things that we see here. Firstly, we enjoy it within the boundaries set by the giver. We enjoy our youth by enjoying it within the boundaries that God has assigned for us. Verse 9, if you have a look there. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, look at the last line, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Ha! You say, I knew it! I knew you were going to rain on my parade. I knew you were going to tell us not to have sex and take drugs. I knew we were going to get there. This is not it. This is saying, God has given youth as a gift. And within youth, He gives lots of other really good gifts to be enjoyed. Gifts of physical activity, gifts of relationships, gifts of friendship, gifts of work, gifts of leisure. But He gives those gifts with good boundaries. This is saying, enjoy those gifts within the boundaries that the giver has given them. See, I don't think this is talking so much, this judgment, about eternal judgment. We're going to talk about that in a moment. This is saying that for however we live, there are God-given consequences for what we do and how we use His gifts. If we use His gifts outside of the boundaries that He's given them for, we're going to experience God-given consequences. If we abuse the gift of friendship, if we bag out our friends, if we gossip behind their backs, if we exclude them, we're abusing the gift and we will experience God's judgment, God's consequences for that. we will struggle to make friendships with people. If we take God's gift of physical exercise and we overdo it, we're restraining something or injuring something permanently. If we underdo it, we risk a whole lot of other consequences as well. If we take God's gift of alcohol, it's a gift that God gives us, and we use it outside of his boundaries for drunkenness, there are consequences for doing that. If we take his gift of sex and we use it outside of the boundaries he set of marriage, there are going to be consequences for that as well. Now, these are kind of immediate consequences and obvious ones, and I think we get them. But I want to suggest that there's some other longer-term consequences as well. You see, when we're young, the way that we live sets a pattern that we take with us into life and ways of behaving that go on with us into adulthood. When I was 21 and I preached this from this passage the first time, I did not get that one little bit. The things that I struggle with now are patterns that I set when I was a young person, thinking, it doesn't matter, I'll deal with them a little later on. When we are young, we set patterns of behavior that we take on with us into life that can be damaging for us later. If our ways of relating to people are to use and abuse, we'll probably find that we keep wanting to go back to that when we're older. And it's not going to help our marriages, not going to help us as a mum or a dad in our workplaces. If we adopt dating relationships, which are try this, try that, dump, and move on, we're setting a pattern and a way of thinking that we take on with us into life and into our marriages, which are not going to help. If we set attitudes of work, either to slave ourselves to it or to just engage occasionally, we're going to set patterns that we take on with us into adulthood. Youth, then, is a time to enjoy, but a time to be wise. A time to enjoy within the boundaries that a loving Creator has set. Secondly, how do we enjoy our time of youth? We enjoy our time of youth by remembering our Creator. Verse 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, when I say that, remember your Creator, this is not just talking about having this vague notion somewhere off that I've got to remember, like I've got to remember to collect the mail or get some milk, that there is a God. It's not saying that. This is using not just any word for God, it's remembering Creator. It's talking about the one who made us. It's talking about the one who reigns over us. It's saying, in your youth, know and keep knowing your Creator. Now, lots of people think, how can having fun and knowing our Creator, how can those two things go together? Because lots of the things I look at as fun, things that I would like to enjoy, they kind of seem to be the very opposite things that God might want. See, this has been the whole thing with the book of Ecclesiastes. We only find joy in something if we first found joy in God. We only find meaning and purpose in the things that we do if we have first found meaning and purpose in God. You see, when we are young, we have to make lots of decisions and lots of decisions for life. We make decisions about what career path we might follow, what AFL team we're going to support, what type of friends that we're going to have, where we're going to live, who we're going to marry. This is saying your time of youth is the time for the most important decision of all. Who or what is going to be your God? Who or what are you going to chase, pursue, love, and seek after in your life? Because basically there are only two options. It's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be something else. That thing that we chase after, that thing that we pursue, that thing that we long for, that will set the direction of our lives. It'll be the thing that we look to bring us peace and hope and security and meaning. And so either it's going to be Jesus or else it's going to be something else. It might be our work, it might be our relationships, it might be pleasure, it might be money. What's Ecclesiastes saying? Make your God the living God. Chase, pursue, seek after the living God. Why? Because He's the only one who will save. And He's the only one who truly loves you. Nothing else will save you. Nothing else will love you. Nothing else will bring you hope but Jesus. Now, to you guys who have professed your faith in Jesus today, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I think it's one that many of us will remember for a long time, and hopefully you do too. And it's been a very enjoyable thing to do as well. Let me say this to you. Don't chase joy. Chase Jesus. Don't go pursuing experiences of joy. Pursue Jesus, and the joy will come. Seek after Him. Read His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Experience the fellowship of His people. Pursue Him to experience true joy in your time of youth. Might be some of us here today who are really struggling in our faith, really struggling to experience the joy that it talks about here. Sometimes the problem is that we're actually pursuing the joy itself. That's our goal. That's our highest desire, to experience that joy. This is saying that it's good to enjoy our lives. It's good to enjoy our time of youth. It's good to enjoy whatever age we're at. But we enjoy it as we know and follow Jesus. As we experience the peace that comes from knowing Him. As we experience the forgiveness that comes in His name. As we experience being part of His community of people. Don't chase the joy. Chase Jesus. Maybe you're here today and this is all pretty new. Maybe talk of Jesus, talk of people loving Jesus, professing their faith in Jesus. Maybe that's something that's really new to you. Let me say this. We do this, we talk about this, we profess this, not because we think we're somehow better, not because we've got our lives together, we've figured out how everything works. We do this as completely broken people. Who failed again and again, who stand before God so often with tears in our eyes because we know how bad we've failed. But we do that as people who have experienced His love and His grace, His mercy and His forgiveness. That He accepted, loved, died for and rose again for broken, sinful people. Our joy is not because our lives are together, because we're young, because we're good looking, some of us anyway. Our joy is because we're loved by a loving Heavenly Father. If you want to know any more about that, please talk to a Christian that you know, you trust, talk to myself. I would love to share that with you a little bit more. Let's pray to God now together, shall we? Lord God, You are indeed the giver of good gifts. You bless Your world, You bless Your children, You bless Your people with wonderful gifts, and we say thank You for that. But most of all, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, the gift of forgiveness and life and hope in His name. And we pray, Lord, that You and Your Son, Jesus, would be our highest joy, our highest goal, and our highest pleasure. May our lives be founded on You and You alone. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.